Good to be with you today. Appreciate the attendance of everyone today. I heard a lesson a few weeks ago, and kind of on the subject of I found a book of the law, Old Testament. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 15 and in verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." There is so much good that we can get and learn out of the Old Testament Scriptures. The examples of how God always dealt with His people in the right way. When they served Him and obeyed Him, He blessed them. On the other hand, whenever they disobeyed, He brought bad things on them. And that's just the way it was. And that was His covenant that He had made with these people. When we think about a passage back in 2 Kings 22, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 22. And we find here in verse about 8. And when I mispronounce all these words, y'all get them the way they ought to be in your mind, because even if you tell me how to pronounce some of these names, I can't pronounce them. But I'm going to stumble through it any way I can. So in verse 8 it says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Now this was talking to King Josiah at this time. And first of all, I want to think about this law, this book of the law that he had found. We're going to see in a little bit how they were repairing the house of the Lord, how it had been in shambles, how it had been in disarray, and they start repairing or rebuilding, and they find the book of the law of the Lord. We're going to find out some things about that in just a little bit. But what law? What law are we talking about? I want to clarify that. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 31. And as I said, we're not under the Old Testament law today, but we can learn some good things about it. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, and let's begin in verse 24. And the scripture says, "And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of the writings or the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death." We see in these things here, and notice also in verse 28, he says, "Gather unto me all the elders your tribe and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through your works of your hands." So this is the law that we're talking about, the book of the law of Moses. You remember, God gave him a law. He gave him the law from Mount Sinai. He gave him other laws. And these things were written in a book. I want you to notice also in Joshua 1 and in verse 7, and it says, "Only be thou strong," this is Moses' instruction to Joshua, "only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest." So we find here, as we have these various things, notice on over in the 8th chapter of Joshua, in chapter 8, and notice in verse 34 and 35. "And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So we see how this law was taught, how it was carried through. Turn on over to the 23rd chapter of Joshua and notice in verse 6. And it says, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." Notice in verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you may know in your hearts and all your souls that not one thing had failed of all the good things which the Lord God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing thereof had failed." This law that was given to Moses from God, these Israelites were expected to follow. And there's other passages we could go to in Deuteronomy 4 and 2 where you're not to add to it, neither take away from it. The middle of the Bible, Proverbs 30 and verse 6, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he rebuke thee and thou be found a liar." And, you know, they were not to deviate away from this law. They were supposed to follow this law. So let's go to a little bit of history now. Manasseh was king at time. And let's go to 2 Kings chapter 21. In 2 Kings chapter 21, and notice in verse 1. I'm in the wrong book. My pages, I'm still in my new Bible and it sticks together. I hadn't got it broke in all the way. 2 Kings 21 and verse 1. "Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and had reared up altars for Baal, and made grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them." I want you to notice these things that he was doing. It says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 4, it says that he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made his sons to pass through the fire and observe times, and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him unto anger. He set up graven images of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name." You notice there where it said that he set up graven images? Just go back for a second, back to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and notice that even in the Ten Commandments, he is just breaking what was plainly taught. Notice in verse 4 of Exodus 20, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children into the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." We see that Manasseh here is just doing all types of evil, all kinds of things that is just direct conflict. And, you know, this is kind of things that was going on. Look in verse 19. We find that Ammon was the next king. In chapter 21, verse 19, it says that Ammon was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haruz of Jobab. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the ways of his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. We see how evil he was. He was just as evil as his father. He worshiped the idols and the graven images and all of the things that went on, and he was just as evil as they were. This is the kind of span of life that the Israelites were living in. This is what was going on in that day. But then you notice in 2 Kings 22 in verse 1, we get Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adaida of Boshcath, and he did that which was right. You notice the change? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azillah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that I have oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house." You see, what they're fixing to do is repair the house of the Lord. Here they are into the temple, and all of these evil kings, Manasseh and Ammon and different ones, they had been doing evil all of this time and had graven images in the house of the Lord. They had all kinds of things going on. Can you imagine what a mess it was in there? In verse 6, it said, "Unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made of them of the money that was delivered in their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it." Now look what happened. This book that we've been reading about, the law of Moses, that they wasn't supposed to turn to the right or the left hand away from it, that they was to keep these commands, they was to walk in the ways, and how God said, I'll bless you if you keep my commandments, but on the other hand, if you don't, hey, it was lost. It was gone. And while they repairing the temple, and in here, somewhere they come across the law, the book of the law. And he said, I found. This is what they confront Josiah with. Now you remember, Josiah was a good man. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 9, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that duty work, that have oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Here is the king hearing the book. They found the book, and now he's hearing what's in the book. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. You know something? Whenever they rent their clothes in that day, they was upset. Clothes were valuable. You remember even when Jesus was about to be crucified and they was wanting to tear his garment? Oh, no, let's don't tear it. Let's cast lots for it. It was valuable. Here the king rents his clothes. He tears them. And in verse 12, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Anchor, the son of Machan, the Shaphan, the scribe, and Ashaya. I'm having a terrible time. I hope y'all can pronounce these words the way you want to. But the servant of the king said, now notice verse 13. He said, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that was written concerning us. You see, he's upset. He said that the Lord is going to have great wrath against us because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of the book. They found the book. You know, even today, people need to find the book. People don't know what the book says. That's why you got the world full of religious division, because they don't go by the book. If they went by the Bible and didn't add to it and didn't take away from it, they would all believe and teach and follow the same thing. They would be Christians and Christians only, not what kind of Christian, but a Christian. That's what we read about in the Bible. If any man suffers as a Christian, not different kinds, but people need to find the book the way that they did. But they go to the prophetess in verse 14, and taking up about middle ways of verse 14, the prophetess, the wife of Shuman, the son of Tekbi, the son of Harhas, keepers of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in a college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. Can you imagine what was coming on them people? They found the book. What did the book say? You don't turn to the left or the right. You keep it. And if you don't keep it, there's going to be consequences for it. And Josiah sees this and he understands this. And this prophet just reveals this from the Lord, that it's not going to be quenched. But concerning Josiah, notice verse 18. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and thou hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. You see, Josiah had a tender heart. He was humble, and it really meant something to him when they found the book. And he saw what was in the book. He was humble before God. That's the way we have to be today. We got to be humble to accept the things written in the gospel of Christ. Verse 20, behold, therefore, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt not be gathered into thy grave, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with him the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. So he reads it all to them, and they hear what's going on. And the king stood by a pillar made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and to test and his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of his covenant that were written in the book. and all the people stood to the covenant. Verse 4, I want you to notice what Josiah does. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, that was the idols, to bring them out for the grove and for the host of the heathen of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried ashes of them to Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places of the city of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at brook Kidron and stamped it to small powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he broke down the houses of the Sodomites and that were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings for the grove. You know what he was doing? He's cleaning house. He's cleaning up what his father had done and what his grandfather had done and the kings that were before him that had let the house of the Lord be gone into shambles and even lost the book of the law. They didn't know what to go by. You know, without a pattern, you don't know how to live. You don't know what to do. Everything that we use today, we got standards that we go by. People today in our country, they respect the standards, the weights, the measurements, all of the things. They abide, but give them something in religion and they forget the book. They don't even think about the Bible. The Bible has the answers. The Bible has what we need. Notice in verse 14, and he brake into pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of them. Notice in verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and images and the idols and the abomination that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest bound in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose any like him. Josiah was a good king. He was a good man. He loved the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul. Is that not what we're commanded to do today in Matthew 22? To love the Lord, the great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Question, do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Or are you kind of like some of the other kings back here that just, oh, it don't matter. You know, do what you want to do. The important thing here that we need to remember is that there was a lot of evil done. They'd forgotten the book of the law of the Lord. Josiah comes along. He finds the book. He's rebuilding the temple. And look at all of the things that he did. And then you got other kings. Jehoshaphat began to reign. And he did evil. King after him did evil. It's the way God's people always been. They follow the Lord for a little while and then the false teaching enters in, the idolatries, the idols, and all. It always is like that. But the thing that I want you to realize is the importance of what is written in the book. They found the book. Now, as I said, and I read a while ago from Romans 15 to verse 4, the things are written aforetime, are written for our learning. We can learn a lot of things. We can learn the importance of following the book from the Old Testament. And we actually find the consequences of the ones that don't follow the book and what happens to them. God destroyed them. You notice he even told Josiah he would go to his grave in peace. He wouldn't even see all of the evil that God was going to bring against the Israelites because of their rebellious nature and because they didn't want to follow him. But the importance of what is written in the book. Now, since we are not under the Old Testament book, we still got a covenant to go by. And that covenant that we live under is the covenant that Jesus Christ brought. Jesus came into the world to die for the sins of his people. We find that in numerous places. Matthew 1:21, various places. But I want you to think about something. We're going to go to the New Testament now. We're going to spend the rest of our time in the New Testament. I want you to notice in John 1 and in verse 17. In John, the first chapter, in verse 17, we have this statement. It says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law was given by Moses, but there's contrast. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This was God's plan. God had a purpose from way back. We're not completely through the Old Testament. I want you to look at a prophecy. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And notice in Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 18. Because we want to look at the book that we're supposed to follow today. In Deuteronomy 18, starting in verse 18, it says that I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now we notice that this is what Moses wrote, that God was going to raise up a prophet that was going to be like him. He was going to be a lawgiver. Moses was the lawgiver under the Old Testament. But we get into the New Testament and we find, let's go to concerning the same subject, let's go to Acts the third chapter. And when we get to Acts the third chapter, and then starting in about verse 22, I want you to notice what it says. It says, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." God having raised up his Son, Jesus. He is our lawgiver. He is the one that we listen to today. And if we don't listen to him, what did he say? We'll be cut off from among the people. Just like the people that didn't listen to the book of the law of Moses was cut off from among God's people, we will be cut off. In John 5:39, it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Jesus told them to search the scriptures. Now you notice in, go to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and we find Paul writing to Timothy, and he says here in verse 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The New Testament scriptures is given by inspiration of God. They are profitable unto us. We know we're not supposed to add to it or take away from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I'm not going to read that just to save some time. But the point of it is we see in all of this that we have to abide by the rule. the book. What does the book say? Notice in 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 6 what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 6. Paul, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he said, "In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." What did he say? That you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Written where? Scripture. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Now, just because we're not under the law of Moses does not mean that we're not under law. There are so many people that they go to the scriptures that talks about in the Galatian letter, Colossians, the Hebrew letter, numerous ones where Paul was trying to get the New Testament Christian to understand that they were not under the law. He's talking about the law of Moses. There were some that come and said, "Except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you can't be saved." No, no, you're not under that law. What law? Under the law of Moses. Does Christ have a law? That's the question. Do we have to go by the book? Is there a law for us to follow today? Notice in the book of Galatians, in Galatians the 6th chapter, in Galatians the 6th chapter and in verse 2. And what it says here is, Galatians 6 and in verse 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." The law of who? Not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ. Look at James 1 and in verse 25. James 1 verse 25, it said, "But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Look at the second chapter of James, starting in verse 8. "If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty." We're going to be judged by what? Law of Moses? No, the law of liberty. The law that Christ has set forth. And in our day, just as it is in the days of Josiah, we need to find the book of the law. Our friends, our religious friends in the denominational world, they need to find the book. They need to find the book and find that there is no denominations listed in the Bible. We find that Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, "I will build my church." And we find where he did build his church in Acts, the second chapter. He even added to it in Acts 2 and verse 47, "Praising God and having favor to all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Did he add some to the Catholics and some to the Mormons? Did he add a few to the Jehovah's Witness and a few to the Baptists? No, he added them to his church. People need to find the book. Get back to the book and you'll have the truth. Jesus in John 17, 17 said, "To sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." We're supposed to follow the truth, earnestly contend for the truth, in Jude verse 3. All of this is important. People need to find the book. I want you to notice in James 2 and verse 12, "So speak ye and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty." Notice in Romans, in the book of Romans, in Romans 2 and in verse 16. In Romans 2 and in verse 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God is going to judge us. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll give an answer for what we've done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice in verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Is that not what's going on in our world today? The truth is turned into fables. People need to find a book. Get back to the Word of God. Just like Moses had said to these people back, I know that after my death, you know, these people are going to go, they're going to go a-whoring after the idols and this and that. That's exactly what they do. People are no different today than they've always been. And every one of us fail God and commit sin. And that's why we need to be like Josiah, that we need to be humble. We need to have a tender heart. We need to receive the words of the book of the law. Not the law of Moses, but the law of Christ. And we all going to stand before God in judgment. I could mention a whole lot of things that's going on in the world today. But one thing we need to ask ourselves a question. Talked about this morning in Bible class, back in Matthew 21, the question was asked of Jesus, by what authority dost thou these things? And he told these scribes and Pharisees, I'll ask you a question, you answer me. He said, John's baptism, whence was it, from heaven or from men? We need to ask that question about anything that we see religiously today. If it's from heaven, we can go to the book of the law of Christ and we can find it. It's from heaven. It's written. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. If it's not in the book, you better conclude that it's from men, and that's equal with being from the devil. Because that's who the devil uses. He uses the devil uses men to portray, just like we read during 2 Timothy just a minute, where they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So many things that we could talk about. We're out of time this morning. If you're here today and not a Christian, you need to get into the book to find out what it says. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Faith is very important. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, if we have faith, that's not a faith-only deal. These people that teach and believe faith-only, they need to get in the book. They need to find the book. Because a man is justified by works and not by faith only. James 2 and about verse 24. They need to find the book. But if you believe in Jesus, then you have to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Repentance is taught all through scriptures. You have to turn away from whatever sin is in your life or whatever false religion may be in your life and turn to God. That's what repentance is. It is a change of heart that leads to a change in our actions. We have to be willing to confess Jesus with our mouth, that He is the Christ. That's the confession that the eunuch made in Acts the 8th chapter. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if you believe in Jesus and you're willing to repent of your sins, confess his name, you have to be baptized for the remission of sins. People today have turned, baptism. You people believe in water salvation. You know, Jesus is the one that said in John 3:5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I didn't say that. It's not my doctrine. It's what Jesus taught. Baptism is a part of the gospel. When he told the apostles in Mark 16:15-16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's exactly what he meant. Belief and baptism shall save. It's not the water that washes away our sins. It is the act of obedience to Christ. His blood washes our sins away. In fact, the scripture both says that baptism washes away sins, Acts 22:16. And it also says in Revelation 1:5 that he washed us from our sins with his own blood. One tells what washes our sins away. The other one tells when. We are raised from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. A new creature being born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you have done these things already, continue to live for the Lord. Serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. If you haven't done these things, you need to before it's too late. And if you are here and have done these things and you have not lived the kind of faithful life, been tender-hearted and humble and served the Lord with all your heart, soul, and your mind, you can make that right too by confessing that to God and changing your actions to serve him. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.